I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and once again, Golfer Gal is absent, so I had to make a call and find a suitable co-host. And this week, Harry Arnett from Callaway Golf is joining us. Harry, how are you?
Josh, how are you? I'm beginning to think this is a lot like when I went to those parties in college and all the girls would not be there based on some previous commitment. I never seem to get golfer girl when I'm on.
Well, I mean, truthfully, if it wasn't, I started these invitationals and events just to prove to everybody that she was real.
That's true. I have met golfer gal in person, so I do know she exists.
Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of golf, and before we get into that, I wanted to kind of do a show about the landscape of golf, and who better to have on than somebody who's been actively involved in that for quite some time. We have a lot of stuff going on, and I wanted to start with the granddaddy, because the team, THP, is filling up, the one that's going to take you guys down, and you guys are putting together your team as well. I've seen the chalkboard material and everything else. You know, what do you have to say for it?
Well, I think it's been a whole lot of fun. On a serious note, we were pretty excited, and I think you were when we sat down and talked about what's something we can do that's different that matches, you know, marries up talking about our company and the products and your community and, you know, the camaraderie. I think the culture of Callaway and THP is a pretty good match because we're, you know, we're competitive, but I think we're, you know, we like to celebrate the game and obviously love equipment and playing. And what are some ways that we could come up with that would be a little bit different that would add the competitive nature of the game in a fun way? And what's been pretty awesome around here is that it's really gotten people in the mode of trying to get better. And you would think, oh, well, you know, you work at a golf company, isn't that what you normally do? But you'd be surprised like how little we practice the game. I mean, we play a lot, probably more than your average guy, but you go through the Zoo Crew now, and I was just over talking to Jason Finley, who sits in the office next to me, and he's working on his putter grip, and everybody's trying to peak for December. So we'll definitely be ready. I don't see us losing a point, to be honest with you. I've been brainstorming in all of these meetings on my pairings, and you guys got your work cut out for you.
Well, see, that's where we differ, and unfortunately, I'm not going to get to play because I really think it's right for us to give the opportunity to, you know, THPers. However, you are saddled with hashtag Chad, and that's pretty much a point for us guaranteed.
Well, he's what he has in social media savvy, he lacks in pace of play. We all know that.
I think he just finished the turn from when I played with him in July.
I experienced that firsthand a couple weeks ago. He crumbled like a 3-day-old cake right there on the golf course in front of my very eyes. It's a sad thing to see, but yeah. So we got to see. But you know, we'll probably end up having some elaborate point qualification system similar to the Ryder Cup or President's Cup. So Chad's going to have a good summer to get on that team.
Ah, so there's the caveat, is you can easily kick Chad off.
I'm just like Azinger in 2008. I'm trying to figure out every possible way that I can to get as many captain's picks as possible on my team.
I like it.
Yeah.
What should be done is we should pick your team for you out of the team names you have.
I'd be up for that. We're really deep. We're really deep.
Well, every time I tune in, the Zoo Crew's grown by like two other members. You're like rabbits over there.
I know. We're going through a transition. I mean, that's just, I think that's honestly part of the transition for us as an organization to transition into more of a media-like entity.
Now,
and, you know, we talked about that in the fall, actually, or last time we talked about this transitioning into creative agency, newsroom and morning show kind of mentality of how we would engage with golfers every day. And so we're really going through that transition as a group. And one of the first questions I ask any new candidate who's interviewing is, how badly do you want to annihilate the THP in the fall? And if the answer is anything short of it's the single biggest thing going on in my life right now, then they don't really make it through to the next round.
So I like that.
It's a big deal.
Now, I just want to confirm that there's no truth to the rumor that Karen Stupples is now part of the Zoo Crew.
I will neither confirm nor deny it. She's dying to come out, and so we'll have to figure out some way that we can sweeten the pot, maybe as like a non-playing vice captain or something like that.
Now, speaking of Karen, there's another event that we're hosting with you guys in August that actually filled up just a couple of days ago. In no lie, 2 seconds, it filled up, the 16 people for Ultimate Club Testing. It's actually being held at the club where she trains at Mission Inn, north of Orlando. And you guys are pretty excited about that. Obviously, we can't talk about what's going to be out there because it's going to be heavily embargoed. It's nowhere near release date. But you guys are bringing some people out, and we're going to play some golf and test some stuff and do some fitting and everything.
Yeah, I don't think anything like – I'm positive nothing like this has ever been done. And I don't come up with good ideas. I just know them when I hear them. And when you and I were talking about doing something completely different that would really excite people, again, in addition to the granddaddy, and we toyed with – what if we were going to show golfers, THPers, product that has not been released yet, that hasn't been in media yet, that's just been in a little bit better form than prototype? Would that be something that would be pretty cool? And I think, you know, once when we started talking about it, I think we both recognized that would be something that would be pretty epic. So we got so much stuff coming up. I don't know what we should say some for 14. No, let's just do it all this year.
Yeah, don't worry. We got plenty of ideas for 14.
We'll have to change it. I think we're going to have to change that 5-year war to like a 4-year war.
Possibly. Now, good transition. You've been doing this before. I wanted to talk a little about the 5-year war. And before we get into your 5-year war, I wanted to talk about the industry in general.
Yeah.
You're one of the few people that our listeners get to hear from that is fairly just open about the entire industry as a whole. Now, you've worked for different companies. You've been there at the peak when the industry is just booming. And you've been there at the drop when the industry is flat. What are your thoughts on the grand scope of the industry right now and where it sits?
Well, first of all, you're nice to not point out the obvious that I have a hard time keeping a job. But I appreciate you saying that. You'll dub that out later, right?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. This is a year unlike any that any of us have seen, and even going back to as far as we keep records, we had at the beginning of the year, you and I were talking at the PGA show, and I thought this is going to be an historical year for golf because there's so much good stuff and good stories. There's new players playing. Nike signed a whole bunch of new guys. They completely changed their entire tour staff. Cobra had kind of the same thing, some new guys and a new story. There were some new technologies out there. Obviously, TaylorMade was going to keep the, you know, their foot on the gas pedal with bringing out the next new thing. And then obviously I knew what our hand was, and I felt like we had aces. So I thought, you know, our hand was awesome. So I really thought the winner this year was going to be the golfer, and that the industry as a whole would see that growth coming off a year last year that was actually pretty good for golf. And obviously the one thing that none of us could control was the weather. And the weather, it was a historically awful year for rounds played and weather in the first half of the year. And so what really we've seen is that has dictated a lot of what's happened in the retail marketplace. I mean, when we see a market leader who commands as much retail inventory at launch as our market leader does in Metalwoods and Irons 2 drop prices in March on a new February launch, in essence, like that's unheard of. And it's really been kind of a turbulent marketplace in that regard. And Callaway, for our end of it, is we held out and have held out. I think we just had some promotional activity last couple weeks, but there are a lot of good deals to be had on brand new product, and it earlier than anybody's ever seen. And so what you're really seeing is a lot of share transition, market share transition. We've had a really, really solid first half of the year. Callaway has, you know, really fueled by what we think is the best product in golf, obviously. But it's I think everybody's recognizing to see these price moves, and you've got folks launching new product that's already discounted before it even hits retail based on previous promotional activity. It's one of those crazy, crazy years where there's incredible instability, I'd say, in terms of the pricing that you get at retail. So we're obviously monitoring. I've never been a part of an organization that literally was monitoring what was happening at retail daily, almost like a retailer would. And so we've kind of been doing that as we're seeing, because the market really has been almost day to day in the golf market. And hopefully we'll come out the other side of this with, you know, much more stable environment at retail, because I think the last thing we want to do as an industry is change or get consumers used to things price dropping, you know, so quickly after launch. There really isn't an industry like that right now. And even consumer electronics and even telecom are trying to extend those life cycles out. So, you know, now, the rapid launches have kind of slowed down in those industries. So hopefully that'll happen in ours as well.
Now, that just brought up three questions, so bear with me on this. First, do you think that brings back we went from a pretty standard release cycle in golf for decades to a very non-standard of every 90 to 120 days, back to pretty standard at every year for the last few. Do you think because of that we're going to go back to non-standard again?
I don't know about non-standard, but I think in a year like this, you might see some different things happen, you know, if from other companies. For us in particular, we were probably, us and maybe Ping were probably the most predictable of any, I'd say put Titleist in there too, of the most predictable in terms of like launch timing. And so we definitely wanted to launch more products more often from Callaway as far as unleashing the capabilities and resources of what we think is the best research and development group in the world. So that means more products more often. When they're ready, let's launch them. When they are, I was just looking, you know, today, by the way, is, as we, you know, do this interview is would have been Eli Callaway's 94th birthday.
Yeah, correct.
And he had a very simple philosophy, which is the next product needs to be better than the one before it. And if it's not, consumers will recognize that and you'll lose brand equity. So he was very concerned about just launching something that was not as good simply to, you know, cover a financial gap or hit a launch window that you need to make. And so I think there's a lot of wisdom to that. And that's, so we'll be more tied to that kind of philosophy. And when we launch something that's new, it'll either be, you know, a brand new type of product or it'll be better than the one before it, rather than something that's nostalgic or, you know, an incremental gain or cosmetic change or something like that. But I do think as you see all this turbulence, if this continues, then you probably are going to see, you know, more launches of things that are similar or, like I said, just cosmetic differences or some kind of very, very incremental change to you know, previous generations. And again, I think golfers are smart, so you know, I don't think that's necessarily going to work for you know, over the long term. So I'm hoping that, you know, things will kind of settle down, and I don't think that golfers have stopped wanting to buy golf equipment and purchase. I just think the weather has kind of delayed some of that demand.
Now, the other two parts of this, and one is going to be a little critical, but at the same time complimentary.
Bring it.
Two of the things you guys have brought out that have changed your landscape this year. You kind of got lightning in a bottle. First one being Phil going nuts with the driver and the announcers talking about it every 2 seconds, which was great. You rarely see that. The second was something that I think I was the only one that ever was critical about the Metal X Odyssey release. And it was not because it was not high quality. In fact, I thought it was extremely high quality. But I also thought when you spend decades promoting a certain look that's so noticeable on TV, then change it for one season, the putter landscape was flat anyway. You don't see sales from that. And going back to a white insert that's so noticeable, the Versa story that is really clearly helping golfers considering what we're seeing on tour with it, brought a flat market in putters back to bringing it, you know, awareness again in a story that was interesting to tell. The Metal X story was very hard to tell because while the story itself with the acoustical sound training and everything else was so incredible, it's hard to tell that in marketing. Versa is not hard to tell in marketing and seems, like I said, to be working. So those two things were almost lightning in a bottle. Were they expected or were they, hey, let's roll the dice and see what happens?
On Versa?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think anybody, and I've said this a million times here, is that was the very first product I ever saw when I joined the company a year ago. And I knew from the first second I saw it, that's going to be the putter story of the year and will easily be 10, 15, 20% of the market. Just because of what it did, how it looked, the models. I didn't know at that point how tour players would respond to it, but once I saw how the tour players were reacting to it, then I knew that was going to be a runaway hit for Callaway and really start to be for Odyssey and really start to be another one of those iconic models in golf, like, you know, the two ball has been and the number seven has been. And so we knew that was going to be huge. At some point, there's luck is involved as well in terms of, you know, most of the players on tour that switch in and out of putters are guys that aren't necessarily, you know, the best putters in the world. You look at the best putters in the world, they're not switching putters in and out every year. And so they're generally pretty streaky. They're generally pretty inconsistent. And so you're dealing, you know, somewhat with that that variability. But I just saw a statistic that it's won like five out of the last seven events worldwide. It's won five out of the last 7 weeks. It continues to be the number one played style on all of the major tours. So it's an incredible success for us, and I think it's just going to get better and better as golfers try it and see that it really does give a benefit. And, you know, in contrast to, like I said, to the Metal X, that was just a little bit of a confusing story, I think, for people to understand, because Odyssey was known and has been known as the, you know, the white insert company. And so, you know, anything that's not a white insert has to have a lot more explaining to go in it. And just as a marketing person, I like things that are really easy to explain.
Well, less work for you, of course.
I like my job to be easy.
Exactly. So now the other one.
Would you rather have a job that's easy or a job that's hard? I'll take the job that's easy.
So the other one was Phil's wind.
Yeah.
And everybody talking about the driver.
Now that was all in the plan. Now I'm a little offended that you think that was luck, because that was planned in the fall that we wanted him to win early in the year, and he did. No, you know, the great thing about Phil, he's you never know what's going to come out of his mouth, obviously, and sometimes Phil doesn't even know what's going to come out, and he can get himself in trouble, but he's always honest about it, and it just so happened, you know, early in the season when he needed a solution for driving and he reached for Razor, you know, the Razor Extreme, and he won. We didn't script that, and we didn't tell him what to say. I know people are going to think, oh, come on, of course you did. But I swear over Golfer Gal's, you know, stack of golf magazines or whatever she reads, we didn't plan that or tell him what to say. He just was so appreciative of what the driver gave him at that time. And, you know, the other side of that is he's now in the Frankenwood, which is a totally different thing. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get with Phil, but when he finds something he likes, he is going to gush about it. So we kind of stay close to the action, so when he does say something, we're ready to, you know, amplify it.
Now, the entire landscape of golf we've touched on, with weather being the big thing, possibly more releases coming down through the future. Do you see, and this is something that you don't always get to speak to with people at a different company. Now, I've for the longest time said that the Tiger Woods effect on golf, when it pertains to hard goods, meaning equipment, I'll use equipment only in this case,
yeah,
that when Tiger Woods wins, every company is fairly happy because people are out playing golf and buying golf clubs. It hasn't necessarily translated to Nike selling a lot of hard goods, but it's done it for the other part of the industry. Do you think that there's a role there, and if he continues to win, more people will start playing again this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, God, you watch even this past weekend when we were the Memorial was on TV, and he shot a million on Saturday. So he had a better back nine, so he shot like two less than a million. And you saw every one of his shots. I mean, he still is the player that everybody wants to watch play, whether he's playing great or not. Still want to talk about him. And so, you know, that interest is good is great for the game. And I'm not I used to probably be a bigger fan of his than I am currently, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing for us when he's playing well, and in us meaning the industry, because it does. It gets interest. If people are watching, they're getting excited about playing golf. The announcers talk differently about him than they do other players. He definitely is still the one player in our sport that transcends our sport. There may be two or three like that now, but he's certainly one of them. And you know, that's good for us, for all of us. You know, you, me, people selling real estate, people selling ad space or golf or tournament packages or whatever it is. So, you know, I always like to see him playing well. I don't ever pull for or root for him to fail. You know, if it's not a Callaway guy, I hope it's him playing well.
Now, you know, I'm the exact opposite. Well, I do root for him to play well. It's great. No, what I mean is I root for the story no matter what the story is. If it's him playing great,
you root for the train wreck.
Well, if he's not going to win, yeah, I'm rooting for it's anybody. If it's not going to be somebody playing unbelievable golf and winning, I want somebody going in the water on the 18th, you know, because it makes my job easier. And that goes back to what you said. The easier, the better. I'm pretty lazy.
Right.
The last thing I wanted to touch on was Callaway Golf, and you kind of touched on it a bit earlier, the evolution, and you called it the 5-year war. You know, it's been 6 months almost.
Yeah.
Where is it going and where is it now?
Yeah. Well, you were the first guy that ever asked me about that. And I never even asked you how you even heard about that. Cause that was, you know, just to refresh for folks that aren't familiar, that started last August at our national sales meeting. It was the first time that we as an executive team had been in front of our U.S. sales team as a group. And what we were talking about was for us to get Callaway Golf to return to the very, very top of the golf industry and the leaders in terms of being bringing innovation and performance across all categories. We were going to have to obliterate our ways of the past. And when we were talking about ways of the past, we were really talking about the previous 4 or 5 years where we hadn't necessarily been intense about bringing the best performance and technology and innovation to the marketplace. We hadn't been as intense about focusing our product line. We hadn't been as intense about or even at all interested in engaging directly with consumers. And so we had talked at that time that this war was really against our ways of the past. And we even said specifically at that time, we're not talking about a war against the competition, because you can't beat the competition until you change, you know, change yourself, and you're prepared to admit that you need to change. And so I would say here we are 8 months after that time, and 6 months into the season, and what you're seeing now, and I think people that come into our building definitely sense this, is there's a sense of teamwork and camaraderie that's unlike anything I've ever been around. The, you know, Chip Brewer is what you see is what you get. He's as passionate about the game of golf as anyone I've ever been around, and creating performance and new innovation and, you know, advancing new technologies, not falling in love with the ways of the past. And so what we've seen in the first 6 months is our first kind of time as a group to bring new products to market is, year one has really been tremendous. And I think people are responding really positively to our new marketing model, our new ways, our new kind of emphasis on engaging with consumers directly to servicing the golfer. And so, you know, 6 months in, I think we're all really, really excited. But at the same time, I think we also know there's so much that we can do. I think it's probably just like what you think when you're looking at where THP can go, is there's so much cool stuff that has happened. And, you know, I know for Callaway, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And what we've got coming for 14 that no one's seen yet, obviously, consumers, is this year will seem like 10 years ago in terms of the performance that we're bringing and the new technologies that no one's ever seen before. We didn't really have a lot of that this year, if you think about our product line. We had a really, really strong product lineup that we felt made the ball go far and really could outperform everybody else. But from a technology standpoint, we didn't have anything that was brand new outside of maybe our fairway technology. Definitely had new stuff in it that no one had ever seen and you know, outperforms. But next year across the board, I really feel like it's going to be hard, really, really hard for anybody to compete against us in terms of premium performance. And as a golfer, that's the hardest part about working here, actually. I'm already kind of wanting the 14 stuff, and I just got the 13 product lineup. So year two of the 5-year plan here is we're a little ahead of schedule in terms of our product lineup for sure, but it's been a pretty fun ride. I think that the energy level in our building has never been higher, and obviously it's higher than the first day I started a year ago. But the people that have been here a long time are saying it really reminds them a lot of back, you know, when the first. When they first started getting cooking with Big Bertha and when Edith Callaway was wandering the halls, shaking things up, that the energy level's that high and the optimism for what's coming, you know, next month and in the fall and in 14 is off the chart. So we're hoping that golfers feel the same way we do once they see what we got coming, and we're going to keep working hard. I can promise you that.
Now, you dropped a couple of teasers there at the end, and I can safely say that the people in August at the Ultimate Club Testing, we're going to be getting a preview of quite a bit of that stuff, and I think people are going to be really excited. Now, we're going to obviously have to get together again soon. There's a lot of stuff coming from you guys that I think our listeners are going to want to hear about. So, for myself and Harry, you know what? No, I got to ask one more question.
Yeah.
Over, under... how long does it take Chad to get his hair ready each day?
Well, you know, it's like when you watch the behind-the-scenes things about Games of Thrones on HBO, and it takes them like 9 hours to get in their makeup and costume. And I'm pretty sure Chad gets here about 11:30 every morning. I'm pretty sure he starts around 6. So what is that, like 5.5 hours? Sounds about right.
That makes more sense. So... for myself and Harry, we hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next month with another show. And keep the questions coming. Harry always wants to hear them, and he'll usually answer them for you. Goodbye, everybody.